Tanis Daf Chav Tes. We are in Chav Ches Amud Beis. We're a little more than halfway down on the Amud, beginning at the heading of Hei Dvarim. The Mishnah taught us that there are five tragedies in which we commemorate and fast on Shavuot B'Tammuz. Equally, there are five tragedies that occurred in Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah enumerated them. The Gemara is going to be speaking about all of these events with some detail. The Gemara starts off the discussion. There are five events that occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. So the first of the events historically that happened, the first tragedy that occurred, is the breaking of the Luchos. So Moshe smashed the Luchos, and when did that occur? That occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. What the Gemara is now going to outline for us is that there is nowhere in the Torah that it gives us a date of when it occurred. It just simply tells us about the occurrence, but without a date. And we have a Masorah that the date was the 17th day of Tammuz, and the Gemara now is going to sketch it out for us in terms of how we arrive at this conclusion. D'tanya, so we start off with the following. When were the Aseret Dibros presented to Klal Yisrael, meaning Mamad Har Sinai? So it was either the 6th day of Sivan or the 7th day of Sivan. The Gemara in Shabbos, Pei Zayin, Pei Vav, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, goes into elaborate detail in terms of what exactly is at the core of this debate, in terms of whether it's the 6th or 7th day of Sivan. Regardless, the Gemara is going to point out over here that Machlokis is not going to impact our next point. Mandam and Bishisha Nitna, Bishisha Nitna, Uvishiva Allah. Uvishiva Allah Moshe. And Mandam and Bishiva, Bishiva Nitnu, Vishiva Allah Moshe. So whether you are subscribing to the fact that Mamad Har Sinai occurred on the 6th day, so that just simply means that Moshe then the next day, meaning the 7th day of Sivan, ascended up to Har Sinai, and if you maintain that the Mamad Har Sinai occurred on the 7th day, so both Mamad Har Sinai and Moshe's ascent occurred on the 7th day of Sivan. How do I know that? V'yikra Moshe b'yom ha-shivi'i. Uksiva Yavo Moshe Besocha Anam Vayal El Hahar Vayi Moshe Bahar Arbim Yom Va'arba'im Laila. And so the Gemara looks at a couple of psukim at the end of Parshas Mishpatim that tells us that Moshe went up on the 7th. Now, in the Torah itself, it is not abundantly clear when it says the 7th, it means the 7th of what? So our Gemara is assuming over here the 7th is referring to the 7th day of Sivan. The 7th over here is a date and not a day. Rashi points out over here that that's not the only way to interpret the psukim, but as far as our Gemara is concerned, our Gemara is taking only that position, that the 7th mentioned over there at the end of Parshas Mishpatim is a reference to the 7th of the month of Sivan. So, the basic point now of the Gemara is, regardless of when Mamad Har Sinai takes place, whether it takes place on the 6th or the 7th, that's subject to a machlokis, but in terms of Moshe's ascent up to Har Sinai, that was on the 7th day of Sivan. With that stated, we also know that he was there for a total of 40 days and 40 nights. That's the Pasuk. Esen va'arba'a de Sivan. Now, figure the following. Those 40 days can be broken down as follows. How many days are remaining in Sivan? So that's going to be a total of 24. Now, how did the Gemara arrive at the number 24? Because the Gemara is assuming right now that Sivan is a malay, meaning made up of 30 days. Moshe goes up on the 7th. From 7 to 30, that's 24 days. Now, if you're a little bit confused, just keep in mind that we're counting day 7 as day number 1. So if you do that, you will find that there are 24 days in the month of Sivan. V'shisa de Tammuz. Now, malaluhu arba'in. So now, how many more days do we need to in terms of getting to day number 40? So that's going to be an additional 16 days. 24 plus 16, that's 40. Now we're on the 16th day of Tammuz. Now, v'shisa de Tammuz nachis. Moshe comes down on the 17th day of Tammuz. They were expecting Moshe to come down on the 16th day of Tammuz, and the Gemara, not here, but elsewhere, goes into a discussion in terms of the miscommunication that occurred between Moshe and Klal Yisrael, but they were expecting Moshe to come down on the 16th. He didn't. Asa v'tabrin l'luchos. He came down on the 17th, and we all know what he saw when he came down on the 17th. He took the luchos, he smashed the luchos. Uksiva hi kasher karav l'amachane v'yarisa egel v'yashlech miyadav v'sa luchos v'yishborosam tachas ahar. And the Gemara here just quotes the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe descends from Har Sinai, sees the people with the egel, and he goes ahead and he breaks the luchos. We just got together, putting together a couple of pieces of information that the Shviras HaLuchos occurs on the 17th day of Tammuz. That's the first of five events. The second event, Batal HaTamid. So at one point historically, the carbon talmid stopped on the 17th day of Tammuz. The Gemara says there is no psukim that make this point. This is just simply a tradition that we have. Huvka ha'ir bi yud zayin hava. So the Gemara is noting that obviously our mission is of the position that the third event that we're recording is the breaching of the wall, meaning there was a siege that was laid, and then the walls were breached, and that breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim, that culminated the siege of Yerushalayim, occurs on the 17th day of Tammuz. The Gemara notes that if you note the psukim in Yirmiyahu, you don't get the sense that it was the 17th day of Tammuz. V'aksiv, the Gemara quotes a couple of psukim. B'chosh ha-rivi'i, b'tisha l'chosh v'yichazek harav b'yir v'ksiv basre v'tiva ka-ha'ir. So you put together a couple of psukim in Yirmiyahu, and the conclusion actually is that the wall was breached not on the 17th, but rather on the 9th day of Tammuz. Amarava lokasha kam berishon kam bishnia. So Rava gives us a distinction between bayis rishon, bayis sheni. Bayis rishon, so the walls were breached on the 9th of Av, on the 9th of Tammuz. And bayis sheni, the walls were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. Titania berishona hufka yir betisha betammuz bishnia b'shiva asar bo. That is the discrepancy between the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which obviously is describing bayis rishon, and our Mishnah, which is describing by Sheni. Sarva Postumos es Atara Gemara. So then we come to learn another event, another tragic event that occurs on Shifas Abatamas, is the burning of the Sefer Torah by Apostamos. And the Gemara says, again, there's no psukim that speak to this idea. This is just a tradition that that event occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. Hemitzelam Behecha Minalan. The placement of an idol in the Hechel. Where do we see that from? So at the time where the Tamid was removed, which we know is the 17th day of Tammuz, so it was replaced with Sheket Shomein. Sheket Shomein is a reference to an idol. Sheket is something which is disgusting. Shomein is that it is quiet, it's silent, doesn't speak. So it means it was replaced with an idol. Now the Gemara is bothered by what seemingly is a discrepancy. In the pasuk we just read in Daniel, the impression is that it was one selim, and meanwhile we're going to turn to another pasuk also in Sefer Daniel, v'alkanaf shekitzim shomeim. So it describes it in the plural, which means that there were two. So Amirava trehava v'nafachad al chavrei v'tavreile. So Rava says that the tradition goes as follows: there were originally two selim that were placed in the heichal. One fell on its friend, broke its friend. More specifically, broke the hand. And found that it was written on the following. Now, written on which one? The broken one or the non-broken one? You can see the bottom. Tosfos over here, who offers two different pshatim in terms of where the note was written and where was it found. But anyway, the note is, Ant Tzavis La'acharuvah, they say, Yadcha Ishtalim Alei. So Rashi over here describes this. It's ki'ilu, it's as if, it's a mashal. One selim is talking to the other one, saying that you wanted to go ahead and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek vengeance from you. That is one pshat that Rashi offers. See Rashi for an alternative pshat. Anyway, so those are the five events that occurred on Shiva Sabbat Tammuz. So some of them can be sourced in Psukim. Some of them are just simply traditions. The Gemara just went through each one of the five. We obviously now move on to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah points out, also five historical, community, tragic events that occurred on Tisha B'Av. Unfortunately, more occurred even after the closing of the Mishnah and the Gemara, but we are going to go over those that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So Tisha B'Av, we are in the Gemara in Chaf Tesam and Aleph, and we are at the second line of the top of the Amud. B'Tisha B'Av Nigzar Alav essentially Kanselaritz Minalan. So how do I know that the Gzera against the Dor HaMidbar, that they are not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, but rather going to be wandering in the Midbar for 40 years, this event occurred on Tisha B'Av? How do we arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara now is going to sequence for us a series of psukim, starting at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, going all the way up to the Meraglim, and basically put together forensically a map, a calendar, that basically will have the event of the Meraglim occurring or culminating on the 9th day of Av. And it's an interesting assumption the Gemara is making over here, in that the events in Bamidbar are all not only chronologically in order, but consecutive one after the other. And as long as we know the span, the interval of time between one event and the other, we will therefore arrive at the conclusion that the Meraglim culminated on the 9th day of Av. And now we're going to watch as the Gemara is going to piece all this information together. Dichsiv, the pasuk says as follows. So we know that the Mishkan went up. Now, in terms of specifically, Moshe was building the Mishkan the entire first year that they were in the Midbar. Year over here starts in Nisan. Second year starts on the first day of Nisan the following year. In the second year, Moshe puts the Mishkan up, meaning actually erects the Mishkan. And sends out the Meraglim, Muksiv. And now the Gemara is going to point out, here's how we know how long it was an interval of time from the Hakamas of Mishkan to the Meraglim. So we start off with the following. So we know that the Mishkan was erected on the first day of Nisan of year number 2. We also know that they were encamped there up until the 20th day of the second month, or if you'd like to look at it in terms of an interval of days, 50 days from the time the Mishkan was set up. Mishkan was set up on the first day of Nisan, and now you move to the next month, the 20th day, that's 30 plus 20, so that's another 50 days. And then they traveled for 3 days. So we are now up to 53 days. And the Gemara just takes a moment to interject. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chinana. Oso ayom soro me'acharei Hashem. That they ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi points out over here that the word mehar could also be interpreted as maher. They left in a rush, meaning they wanted to leave Har Sinai as quickly as possible, right? For possible fear that they're going to get more mitzvos. Okay, anyway, that gives us another 3 days. And we are now, by the way, if you're tracking here in Sefer Bamidbar, we're in Parshas Baloscha now, and we're up to the incident of the Slav and the group of people who were desirous of eating meat. And so we know that the Slav was given to them for 30 days. So the Gemara is now making an assumption that this event, once again, is consecutive and adds on an additional 30 days. So for those of you keeping score, it's 50 plus 3 plus 30. Okay, so that's 83 days already. Dehavlu Esrim v'tarta b'siva. Now, in terms of talking about where we are on the calendar, so now if you're following a standard calendar, and the Gemara is assuming right now that we're looking at a standard calendar where it's alternating months between Zmalei and Chaser, Nisan being Malei, Iyar being Chaser, Sivan being Malei. So we are now in the 22nd day of Sivan. So if you happen to have a calendar in front of you, you can easily map this out in the calendar. But anyway, it puts us squarely on the 22nd day of Sivan. Now we're at the end of Parshas Baloscha, and we're now at the incident of Miriam. We know that she was sequestered for 7 days. Again, the Gemara is assuming that this is all consecutive, so that means that we're going to attack on an additional 7 days. So we're going now from 22 to 29, 29th day of Sivan. Uksiv, and now the very next Parsha is, of course, Parsha Shlach. So we know that the Meraglim now are being sent on the 29th day of Sivan. In fact, the Gemara quotes a Mesorah that the Meraglim were sent on the 29th day of Sivan. So in addition to having it as a Mesorah, we also just mapped out the calendar where we actually saw it occur by simply piecing all the pieces of information together. And now we know that they come back after 40 days. That the pasuk tells us. So if they leave on the 29th day of Sivan and they're coming back 40 days later, so that 40 days should land us when? Okay, so if you're looking at a standard calendar, so it's going to be landing on the 9th day of Ab. The Gemara is bothered by that because really what we are expecting them to do is come back on the 8th day of Ab. Because we know on the night of the 9th day of Ab, that's when the Jewish people were crying. So that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So, Hani Arbim Yom Nichichar Avu. The 8th day of Av comes out to be not 40 days, but rather 39 days. And meanwhile, we know that they were gone for a total of 40 days. So, Amar Rabbi, Tamos Dehahi Shata Malyua Mi Lave. Dichsiv Kara Alai Moed Lishbor Bacharai. So the Gemara says, yeah. So, if it were a regular calendaric year, so then Tamos would have been a Chaser. It happens to have been that year Tamos was a Male. That gives us an additional day. So now you're going to be inserting an additional day of Tammuz. So now that 40 days is actually going to land on the 8th day of Av. Again, if you have a calendar in front of you, it's going to be a lot easier to see. But the point right now being is that now it works out that calendarically. So the Meraglim return on the 8th day of Av. And now we know that that night, Uksiv, Atisa, Kol'eida, Ve'inu, Kolam, Ve'ivku, Ha'am, Balayla, Huhu. So that following night, so the Jewish people are crying. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Also, we're going to work with the girsa over here. Also, Laila, Lel Tisha B'Av Haya. So that night was Tisha B'Av. Amalem Akash Baruch, Atem Bechitem Bechia Shochinam, Vani Kovei Lechem Bechia Lidoros. So you cried for no reason, so I'm going to have you crying for reasons, for generationally. Acharav Bayis Habayis Berishonu Dichsiv. It's on that date that the first base of Mikdash was destroyed. So now we are transitioning to the second major historical national event that occurs on Tisha B'Av. So we just went through the Meraglim and the Gzeira that was Nigzar on the Jewish people as a result of the response of the Meraglim. And now we're talking about Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, how do I know that it was destroyed in the ninth day of Av? Dichsiv. So here the Gemara is going to be quoting a couple of psukim describing the actual Churban Beis HaMikdash. So we know that the Beis HaMikdash is recorded in Tanakh, meaning Tanakh, the Sfarim of Tanakh go all the way up to and through Bayis Rishon. Sfarim of Tanakh also written regarding the Gullus between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and also there are Sfarim of Tanakh that go through the history of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. But that's it. After that point in time, there's no longer any Sfarim that make its way into Tanakh. The book is closed, literally, figuratively, regarding Tanakh, sometime at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Ezra, Nehemiah. So those are the last of the Nevi'im. There was no Nevu'ah after that point in time. There's no Sfarim that are making to Tanakh. But over here, in terms of describing the Churban Bayis Rishon, so we have Pesukim. The Gemara is going to be quoting Pesukim in Malachim Beis. The Gemara also will be quoting Pesukim from Yirmiyahu. And so we start with a Pesuk in Malachim Beis. In the fifth month, that's a reference to Av, b'shiva l'chodesh, on the seventh day of Av. Now, hopefully you're wondering, aren't we expecting it to be on the ninth day of Av? Hold that thought. B'shiva l'chodesh, u'shnat cha'asrei shana l'mef nevuchanetzar, melech bavel, ba'ad nevuzarad n'rad tavachin, avad melech bavel yushlam v'yisrof es beis Hashem. Okay, so that pasuk is describing Churban Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, we just noted that that was on the seventh day of Av. And now, except we have another pasuk here in Yirmiyahu, v'chodesh ha'chav mishiv, v'sar l'chodesh, hishnat sha'asrei shana, l'melech nevuchanetzar, melech bavel, ba nevuzaradan, rav tavachin, amad lifnei melech bavel b'Yerushalayim. Okay, so now this next pasuk that we just cited from Yirmiyahu has Churban Beis HaMikdash occurring on the 10th day of Av. Okay, so we missed the mark two times, meaning we're expecting the Churban to be done on the 9th, because that's what the Mishnah taught us. And meanwhile, the Pesukim have it either on the 7th or on the 10th. So it's around the 9th, but it's not on the 9th. How is all that work? The Gemara goes on to explain. V'tanya, e'ef shalom ar b'shiva shaharei kvar nemar be'asor, v'e'ef shalom ar be'asor shaharei kvar nemar b'shiva ha-ketzad. So how is this going to work? B'shiva nechnesu nechrim lehechal, v'achlu v'kilkulu bo shvi'i shmini v'chi'i. So the Gemara now puts a picture together. And that is, on the seventh day, that's when the enemies entered into the Beis HaMikdash. They ate, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash for 3 days, days numbers 7, 8, and 9 of Av. Samach l'chashech etzusa bosa or. And then, as it was approaching the eve of the 10th day, meaning late afternoon of the 9th day, that's when they started lighting the Beis HaMikdash on fire. And it burned the entire 10th day. And the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is describing the Beis HaMikdash being built sometime, being burnt sometime towards the evening. And in fact, Rav Yochanan says, Rav Yochanan says that had it been up to me, I would have instituted the fast day for Churban Beis HaMikdash not to be on the 9th day, but rather on the 10th day, since the majority of it was burned actually on the 10th day. V'Rabbanan, now the Rechachamim, obviously, who were in disagreement with Rav Yochanan, meaning they were the ones who instituted that being the 9th of Av, their thought process, Atchala de Puranasa Adifa. The beginning of the Puranis, meaning that when the fire was lit, which was on the 9th, so that is a more significant day in terms of marking when it is Churban, and therefore it's the 9th of Av, not the 10th day of Av. That is the Gemara's recording of how we know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 9th of Av, and now we got a fuller picture where it was somewhere within the range of days 7 through 10, based on various Pesukim, but in terms of when the Beis HaMikdash actually was lit on fire to be burnt and destroyed, that was on the 9th day of Av. Hence, the 9th day of Av is marked as the day. Uvishni Aminala. Now, how do I know the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the ninth day of Av. Obviously, what's not going to happen now in the Gemara is not going to be quoting Pesukim, because, once again, there's no Tanakh. In other words, at this point in time, there is no more Sfarim that are going to make its way into Tanakh, so the Gemara is not going to be quoting Pesukim. The Gemara is going to be quoting some Misora. So here the Gemara quotes, Minan Detan, we went to Nebraisa. Good things happen on good days, bad things happen on bad days. Amru kishachar beis hamikdash berishona oso ayom tishavav haya. I know in our girsa we have the words er tishavav, but the correct girsa seems to be tishavav. So the first beis hamikdash was destroyed on the ninth day of Av, and it was Motzei Shabbos, it was the Sunday haya. Umotzei Shviat haisa, it was the year after the Shemitah year. Umishmar tishol Yehoyariv haisa, it happened to coincide with the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. We just spent a good amount of time here in the beginning of the fourth parak of Tanis, going over the institution of Ma'amados and Mishmaros. We know that Yehoyariv was the first of the Mishmaros. We also know, we just learned a day ago, that Yehoyariv did not come back in by Sheni with Ezra Nehemiah, and therefore they lost their position as being number one. Okay, but anyway, so it was the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. V'alevim hayo'omim shira v'omdim al duchnam. And the Levim were singing Shira. Ma hayu, ma shira hayu omri. Now what Shira would they say? So they're saying the Shira, which we normally associate with Wednesday, the fourth day of the week. Now obviously it's a little bit odd. Rashi notes over here that what are they doing on a Sunday singing the Shir Shoyom of Wednesday? So Rashi points out over here that they're not singing it as a Shira, they're singing it as a Kina. Now it's a eulogy. It's a dirge. And as they were in mid pasuk, Ashabar Nachrim v'kavshum, and the enemies came in and conquered them. V'chein bishniya, and the same thing, everything we just described, meaning the fact that it was on a Sunday post Shemitah, on the ninth day of Av, the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, all the features that occurred on the first also occurred on the second as well. And so the Gemara basically says it's a Masara. We have a tradition. Obviously, we're not going to be quoting Pesukim, but we have a tradition, and the idea is midgalgalin, that when something is an inauspicious occasion, so it introduces other tragedies to occur on that occasion as well. Okay, so far we have covered now three of the national tragedies that occur in Tisha B'Av, the Gzera of the Midbar, the Churban by Srishan by Sheni. And now the Gemara continues, Nilkata Beitar Gemara. So the idea that Beitar was destroyed, so that is a tradition. Okay, and we already went over this back in the Mishnah, but just quickly to reiterate. Beitar over here is a description of the revolt that was led by Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiva approximately 50 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, where the Jews led a revolt against the Romans, hoping that what they would do is defeat the Romans, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, anoint Bar Kokhba as the Melech HaMashiach. All this is as per the description of the Rambam. I quoted the Rambam a couple days ago. The fifth parak of Hilchos Tanios in the Rambam. So he cites this. And unfortunately in Beitar, they were killed. Bar Kokhba was killed. The army was killed. The Rambam writes thousands upon thousands of Jews were killed in that battle in Beitar. We're going to come back and describe that a little bit later on in an upcoming daf. There are only two left here in the Masechta after today. But anyway, that's the fact that occurred on Tisha B'Av. Gemara, that's a tradition. And finally, number five, Nechrasha Ha'ir, the city was plowed over. Presumably, the city being plowed over also was a post Churban event. And it was a message from the Romans to the Jewish people that you're not going to rebuild. In fact, you're not going to revolt against us. What we're going to do is we're just going to go back to Yerushalayim. We're going to plow it over, further reinforcing the idea that you are not rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Kishachar, Tzorin, Esrufos, Arasha, Sahicha, Nigzer, Agzera, Arabin, Gamlil, Hariga. So when Tzorin, Rufus goes ahead. And now in our girsa we have the word kishachar, but probably the better girsa is kishacharash, meaning we're describing now the plowing of the city of Yerushalayim. So Turnus Rufus wants to go and to kill up Rebbe Gamliel. We saw back in Gittin, so Rebbe Gamliel was spared through the efforts of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai at Churban Bayis Sheni, so he got his way into a into an audience with a private audience with the next Caesar of the Romans. The Gemara in Gittin goes through all the details of the story. Anyway, one of the things that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for, he asked for three things. So one of them is Rabbi Gamliel u'mishpachto. Rabbi Gamliel represents the Mesorah, the Shalshalos, the tradition transition from the Machus Beis David that existed prior to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash to the Shalshalos that occurs after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. He's a link in the chain. And so the Gemara over here describes how the Romans wanted to kill Rabbi Gamliel. So ba adon echad va'amad be'beis hamikdash va'amar balachotemet bakesh balachotemet bakesh. And so there was a emissary of the Romans who went into the Beis Medrash and said that they're looking for literally the one with the big nose. But Rashi points out over here it was a euphemism. It was just an expression. It just basically meant the man of distinction. Meaning they're looking to get Rabbi Gamliel. That was the message that he was sending in there. Shema Rabbi Gamliel azotasha minayu. Rabbi Gamliel hears and he realizes what he needs to do, and that is he needs to run and hide. So azol legabei betzinam. And so now a clandestine meeting between this Roman emissary and Rabbi Gamliel. Amalei matzinu lach meisilach lama daase. And he asks him a question. The Roman emissary says to Rabbi Gamliel, "If I go ahead and save your life, would you promise me that I'm going to go to Olam Haba?" Amalei hein. So Rabbi Gamliel says yes. Amalei ishtavali. Are you ready to make a shvua on that? Ishtavali, you made a shvua. Salak leigra nafel umes. And so what this Roman emissary did is he went to the top of the roof. He jumped off the roof to his own death. How did that help? Ugemiri. The Gemara goes on to explain. They had a tradition. The Romans had a tradition. Dechigazu gezirta umiskan minayu. A gezira is made, and one of the Romans died. Mevatle legazra sayhu. So the mevatle the gezira, Rashi over here explains. They take it as a siman ra, meaning that if they make a gezira and one of their own Roman senators, generals, whoever, one of them die, so they take it that it's a siman that their gods are not happy with their endeavor, and so they stop the whole proceeding. So because this Roman emissary died, albeit he died based on the fact that he killed himself, but nevertheless, that gave him the idea that the gezira should not continue. The gezira was abolished. Yatsa Baskal v'Amra, Baskal came out and says, Adon zeh mezuman l'chayolam haba. That this emissary, this Roman emissary, is in fact going to go to Olam Haba. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes, "Ebrayis amishchar beza abayis bereshonin iskapsu kisos kisos shalpirche kahuna." So this story is told on a number of occasions here at Midrashim as well. So a number of young Kohanim collected themselves at the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Omaftechos haechel biyadon, they had the keys to the heichal in their hands. Valu legag haechel, going to the rooftop of the heichal. Va'am lefan Rabban Shalom hova lo zachinu lios gizbarim ne'emanim. And they acknowledge and admit that they are not trustworthy stewards of the Beis HaMikdash. Yumaftechos mesuras lach, they're going to be sending the keys back up to Shemayim. Vizarkum kapei mala, they threw it up back up to Shemayim. V'yatzam me'ein ke'ein pises yad. And some version of a hand came down, v'kibla samahem, and received the keys. V'im kavsu v'naflu so cha'or. And they themselves jumped into the fire. Va'aleim konan Yishayahu Yishayahu has a kina about them. Hanavi masagei chazon. Sorry, masagei chizayon. Malacha efo ki alita kulach legagos chuos malaya ir homia kirya aliza chalalacha lo chalalecher v'lo mesei mechama af lo mesei mechama. Sorry. So the Gemara cites a long citation of a pasuk in the 22nd paragraph of Yishayahu, basically giving a description of these young Kohanim jumping to their death. And Akash Baruch Hu also moans over the fact of the loss of these Pirchei Kohuna. Ad Kan. That is the end of the Gemara's discussion and description of the five tragedies that occur both on Shiva Sabatamuz and on Tisha B'Av. That took us through the first half of today's daf. And we continue. We are now on the very bottom of Chavtes Amad Aleph. The Mishnah tells us that when going into the month of Av, so joy has to be diminished. I'm a Rabbi Huda, Bereid Rosh Mo Bar Shilos, Mishmei Derav, Kishem Shenichnas Av Mimata Mesimcha, Kach, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbe Mesimcha. So there's inauspicious times, and then of course there are auspicious times. So when you're going into Av, so joy has to be diminished when you're going into the month of Adar, and Rashi says Nisan as well. Right, Rashi over here, last Rashi in the Amud. So Yemei Nisim HaYulisha Purma Pesach. So when you go into times where we see miracles happen on behalf of the Jewish people, like the months of Purim, what meaning Adar, and Pesach, meaning Nisan. So Rashi over here clearly is of the position. It's not just Mishenichnas Adar, but it's Mishenichnas Tkufas Adar, if I may. So Marbim Simcha, so that means to say that there's going to be increased joy, and it is on auspicious occasion. Lamaisa, what does that mean? We turn to the Amud Beis. The Gemara goes on to discuss this in more detail. Amra Papa Hilkach Ba'Yisrael, the Islay Dina Bahadi Nachri. So that means to say that if I have a Jew who is has some sort of litigation with a non-Jew, Lishtamimine Ba'av, the Rea Mazleg. So he should move away, try to avoid going to court in the month of Av, bad Mazel in the month of Av, Vilim Senafshe Ba'adar. If possible, try to have the court case come out in the month of Adar. Debarya Mazleg. Because we have good mazel at that point in time. Okay, the Gemara is going to just go off on a little bit of a tangent over here. The same Baal Memra, so therefore the Gemara is going to be quoting a couple of other drashas. Lasses Achem Achres V'tikva, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Amar of Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. So that's the same Baal Memra, that's why it comes up over here. Elu Dekalam Ukli Pishtan. This Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is a reference to trees and linen, meaning to say, says Rashi, food and clothing. Meaning, Akash Baruch Hu is going to make sure that we have both. This pasuk dialogue between Yitzchak and his son, who he thinks is Esau, but really is Yaakov, and he's smelling and the fragrance, and Yitzchak is loving the fragrance. Amar Rav Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Kareach Sadesh Tapuchim. So it had the fragrance of a field of tapuchim. Normally, tapuchim would be described as apples. If you look at Tosfos over here, Yesh Mefarshin Tapuchim, Karech Esrogim. Tosfos says it's actually a reference to Esrogim, meaning the tapuach is a reference to some sort of citrus fruit, and most probably because it's connected with the one of the original trees in the Gan Eden. Either the Eitz Hadas or the Eitz Achayim, one of the two. Anyway, regardless, the point is that it had a smell that goes all the way back to Maaseh Bereishis. Midrashim speak about this idea that the coat that was worn by Yitzhak was the same coat that was worn by worn by Esav, which was taken from Nimrod. Nimrod took it from Adam Harishon. Okay, v'chule. Anyway, we're going to continue in the Gemara. So we're in Chavtes Amud Beis, and we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and now halachic discussion. A lot of halachic discussion coming up over here, really from here until the end of the Perek, and notably regarding the days approaching Tisha B'Av. So we know that the days approaching to Tisha B'Av, so already we have to get ourselves in the right frame of mind and start being misabel formally over Churban Beis HaMikdash. And so on the Shavuot Shechabah, on the week that the Tisha B'Av falls out on, so in that week already, there are going to be restrictions in terms of things that we're not allowed to do in order to manifest the avilus that we have over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. For us Ashkenazim, so probably we're all familiar with the fact that avilus starts already earlier. There is something called 3 weeks, meaning some Nihugi avilus already are starting on the 17th day of Tammuz. Meaning with the tzom of Shivas HaBetamuz. Other Nihugim start already on Rosh Chodesh Av, meaning what we call the 9 days. So these are all Minhagim of the Ashkenazim. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, as far as the Halacha Al-Dina de Gemara, so really the Nihugim start on Shavuot Shechabah on the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out. Meaning that regardless of when Tisha B'Av falls out during the week, let's say it falls out on Tuesday, so those days that start the week, meaning Sunday, right? Motzei Shabbos, those days that start the week. So from the Gemara's perspective, there is now Nihuge Avelus on that week. But when I say that week, I'm really only describing the week up until Tisha B'Av. Any days after that, even though you're in the same week, so you're not Noeg Avelus. That's the point the Mishnah made. The Gemara is going to be discussing it now in some detail. Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha Asur L'Saper L'Chabes. So there are two Nehuga Avelos that are mentioned in the Mishnah on Shavuot Shechabah. One is that you're not allowed to do laundry, and number two, you're not allowed to get a haircut. Let me just reverse the order. So I'm faithful to the order of the Mishnah. L'Saper, one's not allowed to get a haircut, L'Chabes, one's not allowed to do laundry. Amar Rav Nachman L'Shanu El L'Chabes L'Vilubosh. This idea of not doing laundry is only if you plan on wearing the laundry clothing. According to Shitas Rav Nachman, one is allowed to launder clothing during Shura Shechabo, as long as you don't plan on wearing it during that week. Rav Shesha says no. Even kibbutz by itself is going to be prohibited. How did he arrive at that conclusion? Well, it's a shita. What's the svara? Let me say it a little bit better. What's the svara behind that shita? So Rashi over here says that the svara is that if you're doing laundry, even if you don't plan on wearing it, still it's going to be mesiach dato. You can see Rashi. Afilu lechabes ulahaniach kadei shiobosh la'achar zman, la'achar tishabav aser, dinira ke mesiach dato she'osek b'kivas begadim. So by virtue of the fact that you're involved in laundry, laundering is a happy activity. I don't know about doing the laundry being a happy activity, but having clean clothing makes a person feel happy, right? It brings joy. So even the act of cleaning the clothing is going to create a hesach hadas from the avelos that a person's supposed to have. So we have a machlokas over here between the Amoraim, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes. Certainly laundering and wearing the clothing in the Shavuot Shechabo is going to be aser, but what about kibbutz ulahaniach? Is that mutter or aser? So according to Rav Nachman, it'll be mutter. According to Rav Sheshet, it's going to be aser. And the Gemara now is going to litigate. Am Rav Sheshet teda debat lekatzur debay Rav. So first Rav Sheshet says, look, I'll give you empirical evidence. Look around, all the laundromats are closed on Shavuot Shechabo. Why? So presumably it's because even lechabes ulahaniach is going to be aser. So that is the evidence Rav Sheshes gives that supports his position. The word katzre, Rashi, Tosis both point out over here on the staff is a reference to dry cleaners, launderers, because when you give it to them, this is both funny and correct, when you give them clothing, so what they're going to do is they're going to shorten the clothing. The word mekatzer means to shorten, and that's what happens. They shrink your clothing. Good. Mesiv Rav HaMenuna. Now, the Gemara challenges one of their positions. We'll see which one in just a moment, based on the following Mishnah. So, on Thursday, meaning it's Shavuot Shechabo, and let's say Tisha B'Av falls out late in the week. So Shavuot Shechabo is going to be, let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday. So now, Shavuot Shechabo will be pretty much the whole week. So even though there's an issur of laundering during Shavuot Shechabo, but what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to launder clothing on Thursday, because of Kavod Shabbos. Now, you're laundering the clothing on Thursday. Why are you laundering on Thursday? Well, you're not laundering and wearing the clothing on Thursday, meaning that's not Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos presumably means that you're wearing it on Shabbos. So this is a case of kibbutz ulehaniach. So ela lehaniach. So it must be that this is mechabes ulehaniach, and only under these circumstances do we have a heter. And the Gemara now notes, v'chamishu d'shari aval ha-shabbos kulo, aser, as far as the rest of the week is concerned, it's going to be aser. What we have over here seems to be an outstanding diuk that would seem to indicate that the heter on Thursday, when Tisha B'Av comes out late in the week, the heter on Thursday is lechabes ulehaniach, which means that on any other occasion, that would be aser. This is a wonderful support for Rav Sheshes, and this certainly seems to be a knock on the shita of Rav Nachman. So la'olam lechabes levosh. So the Gemara defends. The Gemara says, no, really what we could be talking about is it could be kibbutz followed immediately by wearing it. Now the obvious question, well, if you're putting it on immediately, so why in the world are we talking about Kavod Shabbos? So the Gemara gives an ukimta over here. We're talking about where you have only one article of clothing. So we know that we have a heter on Chol HaMoed, that even though on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to launder on Chol HaMoed, but if you only have one article of clothing, and this is it, so you're allowed to launder on Chol HaMoed. Similarly over here, in the Shavuot Shechabo, even though there's a general Isser of kibbutz, but if you have one article of clothing, so then you can launder it. The Braisa says, the Mishnah says it's for Kavod Shabbos. So Rashi points out over here, as seems to be the simple Pshat in the Gemara, Kavod Shabbos just simply means that it's your only article of clothing, so just to be respectful in terms of not going in with disgusting clothing, so therefore you have a heter to launder it. But the heter to launder it is only in this circumstance, only in this occasion. It manami. Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Binyamin, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Loshanu El Chabes Velovosh, Aval Lahaniach Moter. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Rabbi Lazar, the same as the Shita of Rav Nachman, that you are allowed to launder clothing if it's for the purpose of lehaniach. In other words, as long as you're not going to wear it. Meitzvah, the Gemara is going to be challenging with a brisa. Also, lechabes lifnei tisha b'av, afilu lehaniach, la'acher tisha b'av. So the first part of the brisa is really the part that we're going to be focusing on, because it says b'feirish, that you can't launder clothing on Shavuot Shechaba or Tisha B'Av, even if your plan is lehaniach, even if your plan is to leave it for after Tisha B'Av. Then the Brisa makes a second point, which is not relevant to our discussion, but our Gius is like their Kivus, meaning there is laundering in two steps, and then there's laundering in one step. Laundering Gius, that is Gius we can interpret as ironing. What basically it means is that not only did you launder, but you also pressed it as well. So here, laundering and pressing is like kibush lahem. It's like them laundering in Eretz Yisrael, meaning their laundering is much stronger in Eretz Yisrael. And for us, in order to match what is the equivalent of laundering in Eretz Yisrael, we have to launder and we have to press as well. And finally, klipish and ein behem shem giyutz, when it comes to linen clothing, so there's no issue of pressing them, because they don't really need to be pressed. Anyway, these two points over here at the end of the Braisa are not really relevant to our discussion. Obviously, what we're focusing on is the first part of the Braisa, and that is that Licha Beis Ulehaniach is going to be Aser, like the Sheet of Rav Sheshith, against the Sheet of Rav Nachman, against the Sheet of Rav Elazar. So Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, so that really does upend the Sheet of Rav Elazar and Rav Nachman. And the Gemara says is that on Shavuot Shechaba, you're not allowed to launder your clothing, even if it is lehaniach. That's the Gemara's conclusion. We will stop over here just as a quick review of today's daf. We went through in the first half of today's daf all the events that the Mishnah recorded on the on Shavuot HaBetamos and on Tisha B'Av, the five tragedies, the five national tragedies that occurred on both of those dates. And what the Gemara did is just went through the sourcing in terms of how we know that these events occurred on those particular dates. For many of those events, there are psukim. For many of them, it's just simply Gemara. It's a tradition, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, so to say. And that would be Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, first we covered that Mishinichnas Av Mematim Simcha. That's the Mishnah, and the Gemara's contribution is that Mishinichnas Adar Marbim Simcha. That's not a Mishnah, but the Gemara says, but it's true. And Lamaisa, what does that mean? It means that Adar and according to Rashi Nisan as well, or are Zmane Nisim, and therefore it's auspicious times. And let's say you have a court date, and you can somehow schedule the court date to come out in the month of Adar. That would be better. Our mazel is stronger in there. Gemara quotes a couple of other drashas, and then for the remainder of today's daf, what we went through is halacha. Notably, the nihugi avelos that one has to. That one has to conduct themselves during Shavuot Shechaba, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. There are two isurim mentioned in the Mishnah: kibus and saper and cutting hair. And so these prohibitions of these activities, which are prohibited on Shavuot Shechaba, so a discussion in the Gemara specifically regarding kibus, whether or not the act of laundering is usur, or is it laundering and wearing laundered clothing that's going to be usur during Shavuot Shechaba? The Gemara's conclusion, very clear, is that afilu lechabes u'lahaniach, even if it's just the act of laundering, that's going to be usur during Shavuot Shechaba.